97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. It is a Thursday morning. A little mug in the air out there this morning. We were briefly spoiled by the weather, I think. We had a false fall there. Maybe we get that again this weekend, and then it's going to be back up in the 90s again next week.
I'm going to the Mizzou game on Saturday.
Are you really?
Yeah,
good for you.
So I'm hoping we have nice weather for that.
Who are they playing?
Buffalo.
Ah.
They're like 1,000-point favorites.
Yeah. My dad texted
me
that
like
this
Murray
morning.
Sort of like Murray State.
Yeah. I mean, they are now in the top 10. I think they're number 9.
Yeah. I always joke, these schools are smart. They schedule the schools for the deaf and blind early in the season so that they pad their schedule a little bit.
Yeah, and then the fans are all excited. We're doing amazing. Look at the momentum we have. And then we play an actual good SEC team, and we're like, oh, yeah.
Well,
back to reality.
You know, this year, that may be different this year because they are a really good team. I would point out, and ESPN pointed this out, whoever carried that last game, they might have the easiest schedule in their division. That doesn't mean it's a walk in the park. They got to play Auburn and Alabama and few other good teams, I think Texas A&M, but they do overall have a schedule that should allow them to make it into the football playoffs, I would think. Excited for them. They deserved it. They should have been able to do it last year.
Yeah.
But they're not expanding the playoff system until this year.
I think fans here in St. Louis, I don't know how many people are Mizzou fans, but my gosh, we need a team to rally behind because it wasn't this year with the Cardinals. They did win the series against the Brewers, which is shocking. That's fantastic. I was very excited to see that they won last night again.
Yeah.
But this has not been our season this year with the Cardinals. So I feel like people in St. Louis sports fans are ready to rally behind a team.
Too little, too late, unfortunately. Well, we've always got the Blue season to look forward to.
That's
right, Carl?
True.
What are you thinking?
It starts up next weekend.
I miss the Blues preview luncheon, right? Has that happened already?
It's on Monday.
It's Monday, and I've got to miss that, unfortunately. But last year, I remember going to that, and basically we were told by Doug Armstrong that it was going to be
Chris
a
Zimmerman.
Rebuilding year, basically, right? So when you admit that at the media preview, you know going into the season, I don't think we should have, cup hopes this year necessarily. I wonder what they'll say this year.
But they will not be saying that this year.
They will not. Okay.
Well, they had the switch up with the coach, so that could change things.
True.
I mean, there's still some changes there.
All right. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and hope that that they've kind of turned things around. I'm with you, though. Should be a great college football season for Mizzou. And I hope they get this DirecTV standoff worked out that they've got going on right now. Did you read this headline? I'll find it here in my stack, but I'll paraphrase it in the meantime. 11 million people could miss out on the debate next Tuesday night if ABC doesn't work out its issues with DirecTV.
No.
Here we go. Look at it.
11? Yeah. Yeah. So we have DirecTV here in the studio, not on all the TVs, but on one of them. And it says, our contract with Disney has expired. We appreciate your patience while we negotiate to offer you the greatest flexibility, choice, and value. That could be the message DirecTV users get because, of course, Disney owns ABC next Tuesday night during the debate. You might not get to watch the debate if you're a DirecTV customer. Now, something tells me they'll get a deal worked out between now and then, but that's not a guarantee.
You know what? I wonder how many people are really going to be watching this debate, because I think a lot of voters at this point have likely made up their mind. There are those who claim that they're still on the fence, which I do not understand at this point. I think people would be watching it just for the entertainment value that it will be.
Kim, I have a question. On the way home the other day, you got caught in a horrible traffic jam on Highway 40. When you got to the point where the accident was, did you look to see what had happened?
Yes.
Because you're a rubbernecker. And that's why people will be watching on Tuesday. They want to know. They just, whether they've decided who they're going to vote for or not, they want to see if somebody steps in it. That's why they'll be watching.
Well, they want to. I'm curious personally. Well, obviously, we have to talk about it on the show the next day, but I also would just be curious to see how Kamala Harris does when she. Because even the CNN interview, sure, it was unscripted and all those things. But let's be real. She probably had the questions or at least all the topics beforehand.
Yeah.
And she kind of knew how that was going to go. And Dana Bash softballed her with a lot of those questions. That she didn't press her on things that she said that made absolutely no sense. And so I think it's going to be totally different having Donald Trump going back and forth with her.
But the debate rules are out. And what's clear is Donald Trump will not be able to go back and forth with her. We're going to talk more about that this morning. They've released the details on the rules of the debate. Not completely unlike the one with Joe Biden, but a little bit. So there are a few differences, and I'm going to tell you about that coming up here in just a few minutes. A little later, we're going to talk more about this shooting in Georgia. Predictable as 3, 2, 1, Kamala Harris came out and blamed guns. Before she even knew who the shooter was, before she even knew any of the background or details on it, she jumped to gun control. This tells you all you need to know about Kamala Harris. She's the exact same person she was when she ran for president on the Democrat primary ticket in 2019 and failed miserably. Now she wants you to believe she's changed all those points of view, even though she was the co-architect of the Green New Deal with Bernie Sanders and has been in favor of gun confiscation forever. But they want you to believe she suddenly changed her position on that. No, she hasn't. She hasn't changed her colors at all on any of those issues. So we'll talk more about that. We're going to have a live report on that coming up at about 6:08 on that unfortunate shooting down in Georgia yesterday. We'll get to that right now, Carl. Let's get to the top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This was supposed to be a debate.
Right.
So I would have preferred.
I
think he's a nice guy, but I would have preferred a debate.
Thanks a lot.
But this is the best we could do, Sean.
Yeah, they offered that up as a debate option with the Harris campaign. There was no way in hell she was going on Fox News. And it wouldn't have been with Sean Hannity. It would have been with Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. But still, Kamala was too scared to go on there and tell people what she really thinks.
They should be fulfilling their God-given potential, and some part of their big, beautiful brain is concerned about a shooter busting through the door of the classroom.
There it is,
it
right there.
It does not have to be this way.
It does not have to be that way. We should confiscate all the guns, and then it won't have to be this way. That's who Kamala Harris is. That's who she would be as president, just so you know.
I think what actually might happen based on his military service is he's going to bail out at the last minute, but say he went anyway. I think that's the Tim Walz approach to the debate.
Did you see that picture yesterday of the Tim Walz family?
Oh, yeah.
All wearing Walz for Trump T-shirts. His own family doesn't like the Minnesota governor. How in the world did the Harris campaign make that mistake?
The priority right now for us within this investigation is to gather all the facts, to make sure that we're accurate with it, because this is a murder investigation.
Yeah, that's the sheriff down there of the county where this school shooting took place yesterday. Tragic situation. Two students, two teachers killed. I think 8 or 9 other people were wounded. The White House jumped on this the minute it happened. Corinne Jean-Pierre, Kamala Harris, who you heard there a minute ago, they immediately defaulted to what they always default to, which, ladies and gentlemen, I can't help myself here. I got to point out to you again that no matter what you hear from the left, when they'll argue that they support you hunting, but they still want common sense gun control. What they want is to confiscate guns. That's what they want, because at the end of the day, they have no other argument. Do you understand that? Her argument about what happened in this shooting yesterday, which was tragic, but bears no relation to the facts of the case, is that we needed more gun control. Kim St. Ange, I just have to tell you, that I think the average American out there, certainly whether they're a gun owner or not, is, well, maybe this is a learning moment for them. Because I don't know if you've read the law or not, but all they want are more gun laws, they claim. But do you know what's already illegal in this country? For a 14-year-old to buy a gun. No 14-year-old can buy a gun. So making it illegal for 14-year-olds to own a gun or to shoot up a school, wait a minute, that's already the law. And it had no impact on this. But we now find out the shooter was on the GBI's radar. That's the Georgia Bureau of Investigation last year. They've been looking at this kid because of threats he made about shooting up a school a year ago, and nothing was done about it. So in this case, just like the case at the Gateway Center for Performing and Visual Arts here in St. Louis, the question at the end of the day is, how did he get the gun? Who sold him the gun or gave him the gun? In this case, gave him the gun. In the shooter's case, the school sold him the gun. Who did that?
Or was that, it his parents?
Well, probably. But whoever those individuals are need to be locked up. The minute that happens, you'll start to see a change in this because people will immediately realize their liability for giving a gun to somebody who shouldn't have one. A 14-year-old should not have access to an AR-15.
Right.
And if you do that, you're an irresponsible parent. And if your kid takes that AR-15 and shoots somebody with it, you are responsible for it. Just like if you walk into a bank robbery, you don't have a gun, but your friend does, and they shoot somebody. Guess what? You get charged with murder,
well,
too.
Well, you just had those parents earlier this year who did get convicted, right? When their child...
They did get charged,
their,
but that's...
They were charged, but they were convicted.
But
they were found
rare.
Guilty.
It's
but,
rare.
But, right, but maybe that sets the precedent. And I think a lot more of these parents could be facing charges like those parents did. I thought what was interesting was that this kid, the alleged shooter, supposedly surrendered pretty quickly once he encountered a school resource officer.
Good guy with
what,
a gun.
What, exactly. What does that tell you? They go to schools because they're a soft target. I know we say this over and over again, but it's worth repeating.
Yeah. That's
what had
point.
Happened if he had instantly seen that school resource officer and never even got inside that building?
And Kamala Harris is on record as calling for wanting cops out of schools. I've got the soundbite. I'm going to play it for you coming up right after we get to our national anthem, Carl.
Mark, it's the U.S. Marine Corps.
Nice.
Being incarcerated for a couple of days is traumatic, much less the weeks, months, and years that we're seeing that happen. And so part of my plan is also a reduction of that. And then also, again, what we need to do about taking, demilitarizing our schools and taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
That's Kamala Harris in 2019. Do you think she's changed her opinion on that? Yesterday, a good guy with a gun, a school resource officer, stopped the shooter, as soon as he faced him. He eliminated the threat, right? Took the guy, arrested him, he gave up. Didn't have to be shot and killed, but it was a good guy with a gun that did that. If it was up to Kamala Harris, there would be no school resource officers because of her false claim that that somehow militarizes our schools. There are a lot of descriptions for that point of view. One of them would be, you're an idiot. If you believe that, you're an idiot. If you believe law enforcement officers are a threat to you, you're an idiot because the statistics do not back that up. You don't want teachers armed, you don't want administrators armed, and you don't want an armed police officer in the building. So what is the end result of that? The Gateway Center for Visual and Performing Arts situation where the guy waltzed in, the only cop he saw didn't have a gun, and he turned around and ran, and he blew the door open and went in and killed people because there was nobody to oppose him. If the officer that saw him when he came to the door had been armed and fired on him, that would have been avoided. The whole situation would have been avoided. There's a reason that people don't attack police stations. There's a reason that people don't try to shoot up federal courthouses. You know why? because they have armed guards in the lobby. There's a reason for that. And yet we take our most valuable resource, our children, and we're willing, Kamala Harris is willing to put their lives at risk because of her ridiculous brain telling her having a police officer in a school militarizes that environment. That's infuriating. Mm-hmm. Should be infuriating to you as a parent. Instead of being mad and saying, we need more gun laws, you're smart enough to realize another law wouldn't have stopped this mentally ill child from stealing his parents' gun, which obviously is what happened, because he's not allowed to buy one. That would have broken the law. There's already a law against that. There's a law against murder. Didn't stop him. None of that stopped him. But a good guy with a gun stopped him. So here we go again. And you're going to have to listen to Corinne Jean-Pierre and the crazies on the left lecture you on why we need more gun laws. This is insane, they'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you what's insane. A policy where you don't have school resource officers in every school in America. That's what's insane. Back with Kim on a Whim right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
This is the first school year since the Supreme Court struck down affirmative action. And remember how controversial that was. People were up in arms. The audacity that the Supreme Court would have to say that this is unconstitutional. And thank goodness that they did, because people who are going into colleges and universities across the country can know they're getting in because they've earned that spot, whether it be their academics or on a sports scholarship. They have earned that spot. It had nothing to do with their race.
I still don't buy it.
Well, we know that there are ways around it, and that's yes. Exactly even this NBC article I found is talking about that. Well, here's what's funny about this. So this NBC News article talks about how black enrollment has dipped at some of the top colleges after this Supreme Court ruling, including Washington University. It's dipped 4% from the incoming class last year.
Because it was not falsely inflated by test scores.
Well, 100%. So, and I'm going to joke about this. I had never heard of this college, Mount Holyoke in Massachusetts, Mount Holyoke College.
Yeah.
And Mark's been messing with me.
They got a decent basketball team, which is the only reason I've ever heard of them.
I said, Mark, because my parents are from that area. They grew up around the New England area. Anyway, and I'm like, Mount Holyoke, is that what it's called? And Mark's like, Holyoke, Holyoke, Holyoke-y. Like, Mark, trying to mess with me here this morning. Mount Holyoke, I'm sticking to that. This is the Mount Holyoke president talking about the impact that this is having on their admissions process.
That demographic information that used to be readily in students' file is now masked. When we get that data now, the data does not have race data attached to it.
It's so there's even, no way. It's not no. even there. It's
no.
just blank.
That's right. So there's no way for readers to know.
I think that's fantastic.
Isn't that perfect?
Isn't that what you want it to be? That is wild that that is so upsetting to them.
But that's not equity. We need equity.
Listen to
not
this,
equality.
Listen to this person. This person's name, and I know I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to say what I think it is. Flamachu Fofana.
Excuse you.
I know. I know I butchered that. I'm sorry. Freshman at Yale said she cried when she learned about the court's decision. It says, according to this article, although she excels academically, she is black, and she worried that she lacked the same extracurricular activities and awards possessed by other applicants to top colleges. So she was worried that without affirmative action, she's like, I don't know about my decision on where I want to go to college. It made me feel like I had to change my strategy a little bit when I was applying to colleges, noting that she began to think about ways to highlight her race in the application process.
Yeah.
Which goes back to what you said at the very beginning, which is that if they can't overtly put, I am black, I am white, whatever, they're going to find other ways to include that information so that these people who are over this admissions process can somehow figure out that's who they are, because they're still trying to hit the diversity, like, check, we've met that quota.
Yeah. Maybe she'd write an essay like Kamala Harris said the other day, that she used to soak her collard greens in her bathtub, trying to relate somehow to, I guess, ethnically to racially to people who eat collard greens regularly. I don't know, but you know that's what's happening. So this woman who I won't even try to remember the name that you pronounced.
No, just try.
She admits.
What do you think I said?
Floviaci. I don't know.
That's it. You Floviaci. Nailed it.
Okay.
That was it.
She is a good student. You said academically
she went
very
to Yale.
Strong.
She went to Yale. She says she excels academically.
She got into Yale.
Yeah.
But she was worried that without the crutch of her race, her extracurricular activities might not have been as high as some of the other applicants, and that might have hurt her.
That's what the article says.
That's what she was worried about.
Yes.
So she was admitting that she was banking on her skin color to give her an advantage in getting into that university. Do the flip test on that. I mean, imagine if it was a white person saying that. Well, I just knew I was going to get into Yale because I'm smart, but I'm also white. I mean, that's obnoxious.
Oh, I know.
And you know, the thing to remember here is this wasn't a black and white issue when the challenge came before the court. It was Asian students,
right,
who it's not a stereotype, are better students.
Right.
Their parents have higher academic standards for them in many cases, and they're more driven to do well in school. They just are. There's no way you can get around that. And they're the ones that sued over it because they were being left on the sidelines with 4.6 GPAs and perfect scores on the ACT because their skin color didn't happen to be tinted.
Right.
Other than whatever it already was. I mean, it wasn't black. And that's outrageous. I mean, the fact that we threw that system out on its head, everybody should be applauding that.
I know. So some of these other schools that they mentioned in this article that have had a drop in enrollment, black enrollment specifically, would be MIT. About 5% of its incoming class is black compared to 13% in recent years. Amherst College in Massachusetts also saw a significant drop. It says black students made up 11% of its class. So the incoming class last year, just 3% for this most recent school year.
And I'm not proud of that, but I mean, you also can't just decide you're going to change that because you want the mix of people in your freshman class to look different. This needs to be a merit-based decision. If you've got a requirement that everybody coming in has to have a 34 on their ACT on average and a 4.3 GPA with all of these academic requirements, unless, of course, your skin color is different, then we're going to reduce those standards for you. How is that fair?
I agree. This girl who is a freshman at Yale said, after the decision, when I started visiting schools, I started realizing how much I value diversity. You hear that a lot nowadays. It's not that I don't value diversity. I do think that is a good thing, but not at the cost of not allowing someone in who rightfully deserves it because they've earned the spot simply because you need to check the box of diversity. And that's exactly what the left has done. And that's what I have a problem with. It's not like she's going to be the only black person in the school. I mean, there's still diversity. Does she need to hit a certain number, I guess, where she's going to feel comfortable in that school? Does she need to have like a certain percentage? Because that the younger generation in particular, I hear that word a lot. I mean, that is so important to them to make sure that they have diverse voices and all of these things. And
I'm sorry, but if the only reason you got into Yale or Harvard's medical school is because of the color of your skin and not because you're the smartest SOB who applied, thank you, but no thank you. I don't want you to be my doctor. I don't. I want the smartest person available to be the one overseeing my medical care or flying my airplane. What where have we gotten away from the meritocracy of that? It's insane to do anything else. It's insane.
I agree.
It's why other countries are beating us in science and technology because they don't pay attention to that nonsense.
I just don't know how you could be accepted to a top university knowing you didn't earn it and you only got in because, or primarily, I should say, because of the color of your skin. Whether that's white, black, I don't care. Do you feel good about that? Like, do you feel good if you got a job knowing that you check some box and that's why you're in that position? Where are your values? Where are your morals? Do you feel good about that?
No, you shouldn't. It's just a matter of common sense.
Well, a lot of people don't have that, Mark Cox, and that's the problem in today's society.
There's a lack of common sense floating around out there because it does matter. It does matter. We feel good because we sing Kumbaya and we embrace diversity and inclusion and everybody should just hold hands in Kumbaya. No. Some things are more important than others. They are. Some jobs require a higher level of ability than others, and putting anybody in there simply because of their skin color is ridiculous. It is. It's like saying that, you know, Mark Cuban's going to hire a 4'2" midget to be the center on his basketball team. He's not going to do that in the NBA. That person's never going to make the cut, whether you want more inclusion or not. It's not going
to
happen.
I think you should have to. I think there should be some rule that all these basketball teams, for example, they have to have a certain number of people who are under 5 feet.
And under 5 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to.
I'm with you on that.
They have to start.
Makes perfect sense. And if you don't, then you're a racist.
You're a bigot.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a good point. I'm glad you found that study. Thank you for that. Coming up, I mentioned this earlier. I want to talk about the rules for the debate that's going to happen next Tuesday night, assuming you are not a DirecTV fan and our customer won't be able to see it potentially. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay tuned.
She will not allow fracking. She's not going to, and she's got a lot of other problems too. But for your particular,
Mr. President,
for the Commonwealth, you have no choice,
if I may,
but to allow it.
16 minutes and 30 seconds are up. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
The president has spoken for a total of 16 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'll say something else. Though.
Real quick, because we got a break.
If you watch that interview, she had notes. That means she knew the questions, and she had notes. She kept looking down, up. Nobody wants to cover it. I know all about notes. I mean, you know, it's all right if people know that, but she wasn't supposed to have notes. So she's asked a question. She looks down. She keeps on. She had notes. That means she knew that she knew what was happening.
About that. Did her campaign, when they said that they wanted to change the rules that they had agreed to, did they ask for notes? Did they ask for the
debate? They wanted notes.
They wanted to be seated, and they wanted your mic hot.
And they wanted a desk.
Yeah. That could have been a debate last night, but it wasn't because Kamala Harris doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to go on to Fox News where somebody might challenge her BS. But instead, they made it a town hall with Sean Hannity and Donald Trump.
It is weird, by the way, when Kamala Harris does interviews, she does look down a lot. And it's almost, I think back to like when you're in high school and you would try to write the answers on your hand. It was like that.
I personally never did that. I don't know what you're talking about. So, anyway, here are the rules. Now, she can write things down for this debate. Last debate, they weren't allowed to have any notes. They weren't allowed. They had a bottle of water. The staff wasn't allowed to talk to them. There are a few changes for this debate. ABC News has released these details on the presidential debate, right? The debate will last 90 minutes with two commercial breaks. So that's just like the last one. Two seated moderators, David Muir and Lindsay Davis, will be the only people asking questions. They already held a virtual coin flip on September 3rd to determine podium placements. Trump won the coin toss and chose to select the order of statements. He will get the last closing statement. Harris selected the right podium on the screen. That must be her good side. She wanted to be on the right side for some reason. The candidates will be introduced by the moderators. The candidates will enter upon introduction from opposite sides of the stage. The incumbent party will...
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
This is the first school year since the Supreme Court struck down affirmative action. And remember how controversial that was. People were up in arms. The audacity that the Supreme Court would have to say that this is unconstitutional. And thank goodness that they did, because people who are going into colleges and universities across the country can know they're getting in because they've earned that spot, whether it be their academics or on a sports scholarship. They have earned that spot. It had nothing to do with their race.
I still don't buy it.
Well, we know that there are ways around it, and that's exactly even this NBC article I found is talking about that. Well, here's what's funny about this. So this NBC News article talks about how black enrollment has dipped at some of the top colleges after this Supreme Court ruling, including Washington University. It's dipped 4% from the incoming class last year.
Because it was not falsely inflated by test scores.
Well, 100%. So, and I'm going to joke about this. I had never heard of this college, Mount Holyoke in Massachusetts. Mount Holyoke College.
Yeah.
And Mark's been messing with me.
They got a decent basketball team, which is the only reason I've ever heard of them.
I said, Mark, because my parents are from that area. They grew up around the, you know, New England area. Anyway, and I'm like, Mount Holyoke, is that what it's called? And Mark's like, Holyoke, Holyoke, Holyoke-y. I'm like, Mark, trying to mess with me here this morning. Mount Holyoke, I'm sticking to that. This is the Mount Holyoke president talking about the impact that this is having on their admissions process.
That demographic information that used to be readily in students' file is now masked. When we get that data now, the data does not have race data attached to it.
It's just blank.
That's right. So there's no way for readers to know.
I think that's fantastic.
Isn't that perfect?
Isn't that what you want it to be? That is wild that that is so upsetting to them.
But that's not equity. We need equity.
Listen to
not
this,
equality.
Listen to this person. This person's name, and I know I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to say what I think it is. Flamachu Fofana.
Excuse you.
I know I butchered that. I'm sorry. Freshman at Yale said she cried when she learned about the court's decision. It says, according to this article, although she excels academically, she is black, and she worried that she lacked the same extracurricular activities and awards possessed by other applicants to top colleges. So she was worried that without affirmative action, she's like, I don't know about my decision on where I want to go to college. It made me feel like I had to change my strategy a little bit when I was applying to colleges.
So
noting that she began to think about ways to highlight her race in the application process,
yeah.
Which goes back to what you said at the very beginning, which is that if they can't overtly put, I am black, I am white, whatever, they're going to find other ways to include that information so that these people who are over this admissions process can somehow figure out that's who they are, because they're still trying to hit the diversity, like, check, we've met that quota.
Yeah, maybe she'd write an essay like Kamala Harris said the other day that she used to soak her collard greens in her bathtub, trying to relate somehow to, I guess, ethnically to racially to people who eat collard greens regularly. I don't know, but you know that's what's happening. So this woman who I won't even try to remember the name that you pronounced.
No, just try.
She admits.
What do you think I said?
Floviaci. I don't know.
That's it. You nailed it.
Okay.
That was it.
So she is a good student. You said academically
she went to
very
Yale.
Strong.
She went to Yale. She says she excels academically.
She got into Yale.
Yeah.
But she was worried that without the crutch of her race, her extracurricular activities might not have been as high as some of the other applicants, and that might have hurt her.
That's what the
article says.
That's
what she was worried about.
Yes.
So she was admitting that she was banking on her skin color to give her an advantage in getting into that university. Imagine, just do the flip test on that. I mean, imagine if it was a white person saying that. Well, I just knew I was going to get into Yale because I'm smart, but I'm also white. I mean, that's obnoxious.
Oh, I know.
And you know, the thing to remember here is this wasn't a black and white issue when the challenge came before the court. It was Asian students,
right,
who it's not a stereotype, are better students.
Right.
Their parents have higher academic standards for them in many cases, and they're more driven to do well in school. They just are. There's no way you can get around that. And they're the ones that sued over it because they were being left on the sidelines with 4.6 GPAs and perfect scores on the ACT because their skin color didn't happen to be tinted.
Right.
Other than whatever it already was. I mean, it wasn't black. And that's outrageous. I mean, the fact that we threw that system out on its head, everybody should be applauding that.
I know. So some of these other schools that they mentioned in this article that have had a drop in enrollment, black enrollment specifically, would be MIT, about 5% of its incoming class is black compared to 13% in recent years. Amherst College in Massachusetts also saw a significant drop. It says black students made up 11% of its class, so the incoming class last year just 3% for this most recent school
year. And I'm not proud of that, but I mean, you also can't just decide you're going to change that because you want the mix of people in your freshman class to look different. This needs to be a merit-based decision. If you've got a requirement that everybody coming in has to have a 34 on their ACT on average and a 4.3 GPA with all of these academic requirements, unless, of course, your skin color is different, then we're going to reduce those standards for you. How is that fair?
I agree. This girl who is a freshman at Yale said, after the decision, when I started visiting schools, I started realizing how much I value diversity. You hear that a lot nowadays. It's not that I don't value diversity. I do think that is a good thing, but not at the cost of not allowing someone in who rightfully deserves it because they've earned the spot simply because you need to check the box of diversity. And that's exactly what the left has done. And that's what I have a problem with. It's not like she's going to be the only black person in the school. I mean, there's still diversity. Does she need to hit a certain number, I guess, where she's going to feel comfortable in that school? Does she need to have like a certain percentage? Because that the younger generation in particular, I hear that word a lot. I mean, that is so important to them to make sure that they have diverse voices and all of these things. And
I'm sorry, but if the only reason you got into Yale or Harvard's medical school is because of the color of your skin and not because you're the smartest SOB who applied, thank you, but no thank you. I don't want you to be my doctor. I don't. I want the smartest person available to be the one overseeing my medical care or flying my airplane. What where have we gotten away from the meritocracy of that? It's insane to do anything else. It's insane.
I agree.
It's why other countries are beating us in science and technology because they don't pay attention to that nonsense.
I just don't know how you could be accepted to a top university knowing you didn't earn it and you only got in because, or primarily, I should say, because of the color of your skin, whether that's white, black, but I don't care. Do you feel good about that? Like, do you feel good if you got a job knowing that you check some box and that's why you're in that position? I mean, where are your values? Where are your morals? Do you feel good about that?
No, you shouldn't. It's just a matter of common sense.
Well, a lot of people don't have that, Mark Cox, and that's the problem in today's society.
There's a lack of common sense floating around out there because it does matter. It does matter. We feel good because we sing Kumbaya and we embrace diversity and inclusion and everybody should just hold hands in Kumbaya. No. Some things are more important than others. They are. Some jobs require a higher level of ability than others, and putting anybody in there simply because of their skin color is ridiculous. It is. It's like saying that, you know, Mark Cuban's going to hire a 4'2" midget to be the center on his basketball team. He's not going to do that in the NBA. That person's never going to make the cut, whether you want more inclusion or not. It's not going
to
happen.
I think you should have to. I think there should be some rule that all these basketball teams, for example, they have to have a certain number of people who are under 5 feet.
And under 5 feet.
Right.
Yeah.
You have
I'm
to.
I'm with you on that.
They have to start.
Makes perfect sense. And if you don't, then you're a racist.
You're a bigot.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a good point. I'm glad you found that study. Thank you for that. Coming up, I mentioned this earlier. I want to talk about the rules for the debate that's going to happen next Tuesday night, assuming you are not a DirecTV fan and our customer won't be able to see it potentially. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stay tuned.
She will not allow fracking. She's not going to, and she's got a lot of other problems too. But for your particular, for the Commonwealth, you have no choice,
if I may,
but to allow it.
16 minutes and 30 seconds are up. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
The president has spoken for a total of 16 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'll say something else.
Real quick, because we got a break.
If you watch that interview, she had notes. That means she knew the questions, and she had notes. She kept looking down, up. Nobody wants to cover it. I know all about notes. I mean, you know, it's all right if people know that, but she wasn't supposed to have notes.
So she's asked the question. She looks down. She keeps on. She had notes. That means she knew that she knew what was happening. About
that. Did her campaign, when they said that they wanted to change the rules that they had agreed to, did they ask for notes? Did they ask for the?
They wanted notes.
They wanted to be seated, and they wanted your mic hot.
They wanted a desk.
Yeah, that could have been a debate last night, but it wasn't because Kamala Harris doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to go on to Fox News where somebody might challenge her BS. But instead, they made it a town hall with Sean Hannity and Donald Trump.
It is weird, by the way, when Kamala Harris does interviews, she does look down a lot. And it's almost, I think back to like when you're in high school and you would try to write the answers on your hand. It was like that.
I personally never did that. I don't know what you're talking about. So,
right.
Anyway, here are the rules. Now, she can write things down for this debate. Last debate, they weren't allowed to have any notes. They weren't allowed. They had a bottle of water. The staff wasn't allowed to talk to them. There are a few changes for this debate. ABC News has released these details on the presidential debate, right? The debate will last 90 minutes with two commercial breaks. So that's just like the last one. Two seated moderators, David Muir and Lindsay Davis, will be the only people asking questions. They already held a virtual coin flip on September 3rd to determine podium placements. Trump won the coin toss and chose to select the order of statements. He will get the last closing statement. Harris selected the right podium on the screen. That must be her good side. She wanted to be on the right side for some reason. The candidates will be introduced by the moderators. The candidates will enter upon introduction from opposite sides of the stage. The incumbent party will be introduced first. There will be no opening statements. Closing statements will be 2 minutes per candidate. They'll stand behind the podiums for the duration of the debate. Props or pre-written notes are not allowed. No topics or questions will be shared in advance, wink, wink, from Kamala's and Doug's best friend who runs Disney and ABC. We're to believe that they won't get any questions in advance. Candidates will be given a pen, a pad of paper, and a bottle of water. Candidates will have 2 minutes to answer questions, 2 minutes for rebuttals, 1 extra minute for follow-ups, clarifications, or responses. Now, they said they were going to do that in the last debate, but they didn't always do that. They didn't always allow the candidate to
follow
to
up.
Rebut,
yeah.
I didn't think. Candidates' microphones will be live only for the candidate whose turn it is to speak and muted when the time belongs to the other candidate.
Which Kamala didn't want, so that's a win for... I actually think it's funny that's a win for Trump.
That's to Trump's advantage. Yep. I would agree with that. Candidates will not be permitted to ask questions of each other.
Mm. You know Trump will do that, though.
Well, he...
Like a rhetorical question.
Yeah. He'll look over at her and say things, I'm sure,
yeah.
When his mic is on. Campaign staff may not interact with candidates during commercial breaks. Moderators will seek to enforce the time agreements, and there will be an audience in the room this time. So that is definitely different than the last time.
Yep.
There will be an audience.
Which is probably a win for Trump, too, because Biden's the one who didn't want a live audience.
ABC will stack it with their people, I'm sure. I wonder what the split is. Is each candidate allowed a certain number of people in the room? I mean, if not.
They should.
Yeah. I don't know how that gets determined.
This, by the way, is the first time Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have met. I did not realize until she did that interview with CNN that they had not met face to face.
Well, they've not. And although he's donated money to her campaign when she was attorney general in California.
I'm sure that's going to come up.
Well, I'm sure it will, too. But he donated money to a lot of Democrats and Republicans alike when he was a businessman, because that's what you do. You grease both sides of the skids. He didn't even know her. He never met her.
It still looks weird. I don't know.
Because I would never consider doing it, but I'm also not an international businessman.
So. You're not?
I know that'll shock you.
It is shocking.
Yeah, but my golf course in Ireland didn't require Kamala Harris's approval, so that's why. That's it, generally. All right, coming up, that tragic school shooting in Georgia yesterday. The FBI knew about this kid over a year ago. How did this happen? Guess what? Once again, it wasn't the gun. It was the criminal, and they had advance warning. We're going to get a live report on it coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
She will not allow fracking. She's not going to, and she's got a lot of other problems too. But for your particular, for the Commonwealth, you have no choice,
if I may,
but to allow it.
16 minutes and 30 seconds are up. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
The president has spoken for a total of 16 minutes and 30 seconds.
I'll say something else.
Real quick, because we got a break.
If you watch that interview, she had notes. That means she knew the questions, and she had notes. She kept looking down, up. Look, nobody wants to cover it. I know all about notes. I mean, you know, it's all right if people know that, but she wasn't supposed to have notes. So she's asked a question. She looks down. She had notes. That means she knew that she knew what was happening.
Did her campaign, when they said that they wanted to change the rules that they had agreed to, did they ask for notes? Did they ask for the?
They wanted notes.
They wanted to be seated, and they wanted your mic hot.
And they wanted a desk.
Yeah, that could have been a debate last night, but it wasn't because Kamala Harris doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to go on to Fox News where somebody might challenge her BS. But instead, they made it a town hall with Sean Hannity and Donald Trump.
It is weird, by the way, when Kamala Harris does interviews, she does look down a lot. And it's almost, I think back to like when you're in high school and you would try to write the answers on your hand. It was like that.
I personally never did that. I don't know what you're talking about. So,
right.
Anyway, here are the rules. Now, she can write things down for this debate. Last debate, they weren't allowed to have any notes. They weren't allowed. They had a bottle of water. The staff wasn't allowed to talk to them. There are a few changes for this debate. ABC News has released these details on the presidential debate, right? The debate will last 90 minutes with two commercial breaks. So that's just like the last one. Two seated moderators, David Muir and Lindsay Davis, will be the only people asking questions. They already held a virtual coin flip on September 3rd to determine podium placements. Trump won the coin toss and chose to select the order of statements. He will get the last closing statement. Harris selected the right podium on the screen. That must be her good side. She wanted to be on the right side for some reason. The candidates will be introduced by the moderators. The candidates will enter upon introduction from opposite sides of the stage. The incumbent party will be introduced first. There will be no opening statements. Closing statements will be 2 minutes per candidate. They'll stand behind the podiums for the duration of the debate. Props or pre-written notes are not allowed. No topics or questions will be shared in advance, wink, wink, from Kamala's and Doug's best friend who runs Disney and ABC. We're to believe that they won't get any questions in advance. Candidates will be given a pen, a pad of paper, and a bottle of water. Candidates will have 2 minutes to answer questions, 2 minutes for rebuttals, 1 extra minute for follow-ups, clarifications, or responses. Now, they said they were going to do that in the last debate, but they didn't always do that. They didn't always allow the candidate to
follow
to
up.
Rebut.
Yeah.
I didn't think. Candidates' microphones will be live only for the candidate whose turn it is to speak and muted when the time belongs to the other candidate.
Which Kamala didn't want, so that's a win for... I actually think it's funny that's a win for Trump.
That's to Trump's advantage. Yep. I would agree with that. Candidates will not be permitted to ask questions of each other.
Mm. You know Trump will do that, though.
Oh, well, he...
Look, a rhetorical question.
Yeah, he'll look over at her and say things, I'm sure, when his mic is on. Campaign staff may not interact with candidates during commercial breaks. Moderators will seek to enforce the time agreements, and there will be an audience in the room this time. So that is definitely different than the last time.
Yep.
There will be an audience.
Which is probably a win for Trump, too, because Biden's the one who didn't want a live audience.
ABC will stack it with their people, I'm sure. I wonder what the split is. Is each candidate allowed a certain number of people in the room? I mean, if not.
They should.
Yeah. I don't know how that gets determined.
This, by the way, is the first time Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have met. I did not realize until she did that interview with CNN that they had not met face to face.
Well, they've not. And although he's donated money to her campaign when she was attorney general in California.
I'm sure that's going to come up.
Well, I'm sure it will, too. But he donated money to a lot of Democrats and Republicans alike when he was a businessman, because that's what you do. You grease both sides of the skids. He didn't even know her. He never met her.
It still looks weird. I mean, I don't know.
Because I would never consider doing it, but I'm also not an international businessman.
So. You're not?
I know that'll shock you.
It is shocking.
Yeah, but my golf course in Ireland didn't require Kamala Harris's approval, so that's why. That's it, generally. All right, coming up, that tragic school shooting in Georgia yesterday. The FBI knew about this kid over a year ago. How did this happen? Guess what? Once again, it wasn't the gun. It was the criminal, and they had advance warning. We're going to get a live report on it coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.